You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Hebrews 2. We'll start there. I've got something on my heart I want to share, and I don't know where we'll go with it, but I'm trusting that God knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. No, I've got several scriptures. You know, I think topically, I guess you could say, I'm really analytical. I'll get a subject and I'll just start thinking of that subject, you know, that topic. And scriptures will just start coming, you know. I'll think, oh, that's over here and that's over there. And it's over there. It's almost like a concordance, you know, where you look at one word and you find all these verses with that one word in it. And a lot of times God ministers to me that way, and that seems to be the way I flow more often than not. Not the only way, but the more often than not. And I was meditating on this this word, Hebrews, y'all found it? Amen. Hebrews 2. And thinking about Jesus' ministry and what He came to do, and thank God Jesus came. You know, if He didn't come, we would be in a mess. We'd still be in a mess with no hope of recovery. Jesus came to restore us and to do what we couldn't do. We needed help. Bottom line, we needed help that nobody could give us. We needed help that we couldn't do ourselves. We need help with things that we just could not, humanly speaking, accomplish. And God became a man, and that's what Jesus was. He was a God-man. He was God and He was man. He became a man and lived a perfect sinless life for you, for me, and died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He took our sin upon Him and paid the price for our sin because we couldn't pay the price. See, there was no man that good. Nobody will ever be that good. There was only one person that good, and it was Jesus. And really the only reason He was that good is because He was God. God had to come down here because every man and every woman was just messed up. I mean, in the sense that none of us were perfect. If you know anybody that's perfect. I know some good people, but I don't know anybody perfect. I mean, when I look in the mirror, it's about as close as it gets, but it's still a little. No. No, no, come on now, come on. No, we're all messed up somehow, some way. I just lost you right then, didn't I? Okay, yeah. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. No, we're all working on things, and we can all improve on ourselves. There's things we can do better. Even when people brag on us and talk about how good we are, you know, and how much they appreciate us. That's good. People love to be appreciated. You need to be appreciated. You will always move toward people that increase you and appreciate you as opposed to people that devalue you. And so that's really important that we give praise and that we lift up people. But we don't need to be under a delusion. None of us are perfect. We're better than we were. Hallelujah. Yes. And we're going to be better next year if Jesus tarries than we are this year. Amen. I believe that. You know, Liz's dad, Pastor Jan, he says something all the time. People ask, how you doing? He says, well, better than yesterday, not worse than tomorrow. It always catches you off guard, and you have to stop and think, oh, yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, because he's saying he's better than yesterday, but tomorrow's going to be better than today. So he's better. Oh, a couple of y'all got it. But anyway. So we're improving, amen? Amen? But see, that's the whole point. Jesus had to come because we weren't perfect. He had to come because we couldn't do this thing. God is holy and God is perfect and God demands perfection. And there's no way He could get it from us. So He sent His Son because He loves us so much. See, that's what you have to understand. God's holy, sure, but God is also love. And because of His great love for us, He sent Jesus to meet the demands that we couldn't meet. And Jesus paid a price. There's an old song that says He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen? And that's what Jesus did. He came and paid a debt that I could not pay. And a debt He didn't owe. He took not His sin, but our sin on Him. But here's the good news. Here's the flip-flop. Here's the great exchange. You'll love this. He took our sin, but we took His righteousness. Amen. Yeah. Woo! And right now, I don't have my own righteousness, but I have the righteousness of God. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My righteousness is filthy rags, but His, hallelujah, that'll get me into heaven. That'll get me into eternity. In fact, you're never going to get there by yourself. You need some help. That's okay. It's all right to need help. But you got to first admit it and then go to the one that can give it to you. Hallelujah. That's what I did some 30 years ago, 32 years ago. I accepted Jesus. I reached out and got some help. I realized I was lost. I realized I was going to hell. I realized I couldn't be good enough to go to heaven. In fact, you can be as good can be, and you can't be good enough to go to heaven. No one is ever that good. And I cried out to God, and I reached out to God. And you know what? He was waiting all that time. He's just waiting on us. That's all he's doing. He's just waiting on us to come to him. Hebrews 2 tells us this. Here's a word that began to jump at me. I begin to meditate on this. I'm reading New King James Version. It says in the 14th verse, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's you and that's me, we're in a flesh and blood body here. Everybody say partaken of flesh and blood. That's interesting because if I partake of something, that I am not what that is. If I partake of a meal, then I'm not that meal, I'm partaking of the meal. Does that make sense? Okay. So if I'm partaking of flesh and blood, I'm not flesh and blood, I'm partaking of flesh and blood. I'm really somebody else. I'm inside this body and so are you. When this body dies, that's not the end. Because that body's not you. It's just your vehicle. It's just your tent, your covering, your set of suit of clothes, as it were. And one day you're going to step out of this body. Thank God. Hallelujah. And if Jesus comes, this will even be changed and glorified. Oh, happy day. That day's coming. Amen. But I am inside here looking out of these eyes at you. I'm more than this flesh and more than this body. That's why when we pass by a casket at a funeral, we often hear people say, well, you know, that's not them. This is just their body. I know they're in heaven. I know they're with Jesus. Well, that's true because that's not them. And that's not you. I know you're fixing to get confused. You're going to start saying, are you telling me I'm not me? No, I'm telling you, your body's not you. We make much of the body, you know, and we really dress it up and we try to keep it in good shape. But the fact remains, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. So I'm getting stronger every day on the inside. Amen. And that's really who I really am. So he says here that Jesus took part of that, just like we partook of flesh and blood. Jesus came down here and partook of flesh and blood. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Wow. I always thought that was so awesome, that the greatest power the enemy had really was death, and yet God turned around and took death and destroyed death through death. You know, that's really a sign of a great general in an army, is to take the opposing army's greatest strength and use it against them. Knowing they're going to throw this shot, knowing they're going to go to this place, knowing they're going to use this tactic because they're known for using that tactic. Even in fighting or boxing or whatever, just one-on-one fighting, if you know your opponent's strength, you know what he's going to do, maybe he throws a left hook, then you know, you let him throw it, you know it's coming, let him use it to his disadvantage. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying I'll go out there and left hook each other. It's just an example. So death was the devil's greatest weapon. Really, the devil thought he had Jesus when he killed him. He thought it was over. In fact, the Bible tells us that. Oh, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 7th, 8th verse there, it says that had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Princes of this world would mean the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world, the devil and his cohorts. They influenced people to kill Jesus, thinking they could get rid of him by killing him. They went out and buried him, but all they did was plant him, and what you plant comes back up.
Amen. That's right.
Woohoo.
That's good.
Jesus even talked about a seed being put in the ground coming back up. All they did was plant him, and he just came right back up. They thought they had killed him, see, but it was what Jesus came to die. That's what he came to do.
Yes,
he did. Oh, hallelujah. So it says here, I haven't got to my point yet, people. Y'all just hold on. That he through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release, or King James says, and deliver them. Everybody say deliver. All right. And release or deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, here's something that you'll see, a theme that you will see all throughout the Bible. Through the Gospels, I mean through the Acts, through Paul's teaching even. We don't know that Paul wrote Hebrews. I think someone else wrote Hebrews. It doesn't tell us who wrote Hebrews. If you believe it's Paul, you can still go to heaven. Okay. And if I don't believe Paul, I can still go to heaven too. Okay. But whoever wrote it, he talked about this same theme. Paul talks about it in his writings. Jesus talked about it. I mean, it's in the book of Acts, all through the book of Acts. This theme is this, that Jesus came to deliver us. I love that. Here in this case specifically, he says he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, as a Christian, we don't need to fear death. Now, we're not trying to die. We're not looking forward to death. We have sentiments about this world and our family and so on and so forth. And it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when we die, we're going to a better place. And we're headed down that road. We're headed that direction. Every one of you, every person in here, young and old, is headed down that road. If Jesus tarries, we're going to die. And death is a doorway, not an end. For us as Christians, we open that door and step off into that new life. Hallelujah. And we are going to live forever. And we're going to look at all this as an old tale one day. We'll look back at all this, and everything here will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But God's Word will never pass away. And we'll live on and on and on and on and on, testify the glory of God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And we're going to a place where there's no crying, there's no dying, there's no sorrow, there's no pain. The former things pass away, all things become new. Hallelujah, somebody. But Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. We were afraid of death because we didn't have that assurance. See, as Christians now, we have confidence. We have courage. We have faith concerning the future. Even at funerals, when we, as much as we miss those loved ones, be it a mama or a daddy or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter, I mean, or a close, close friend, if they know Jesus, we have this blessed hope. We know this is not the end. Sentences can end with a comma or a period. When it's a comma, there's another thought and it keeps going. For the Christian, the casket is never a period at the end of a sentence. It's always a comma. Life goes on. The sentence is not over. Hallelujah. They continue to live. And you know what? I've been delivered from that kind of fear. Jesus came to deliver me. Because this is natural. This is something that we all deal with. This is something people are in bondage to. Thank God Jesus came to deliver us from that kind of fear. Isn't that good?
Yes.
But this thing, you'll see, in any area of your life, if you'll go through it, Jesus came to deliver us. He came to rescue us. He came to free us, to set us at liberty. Hallelujah, you are free not to fear death now.
Amen.
You've been freed and set at liberty to not fear death. Isn't that good? Jesus came to give us liberty and give us freedom. Whatever he came to do in whatever area of our life it concerned, it always had to do with setting us free. Because until we get to Jesus, we are bound up. And we need to be delivered. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians 1. Just with this same thought in mind. Hallelujah, I've been delivered. Remember that old song? I've been delivered, oh praise the Lord. Been delivered by His Word. Chains of sin are broken. I've been delivered, oh praise the Lord. There's been a big change in me, oh big change in me. Y'all not helping as I'm singing this song. Y'all, anybody remember that song? Yeah. Brought me out of bondage into liberty. Whoa, big change in me. Yep. That's me, big change. Okay, Galatians, first chapter. Oh, come on, I won't torture you all morning. We'll let you out in a little bit. Notice what it says here, Paul, first verse, first chapter, first verse. Galatians is a treatise on liberty. I mean, you might say that the whole book's about liberty. It's about being freed from the works of the law. It's about being freed from ourselves, hallelujah. It's about being delivered from me. Are you with me? That I could actually be good enough, or I could work hard enough, or I could do enough to get to heaven. No, you cannot. Only Jesus set you free. And you're only justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's really what, in a nutshell, what the whole book's about. But really, it comes down to everything that way. You know, you face trials in life. I face trials in life. Sometimes we think we're up to the task without God, and we're always wrong when we make that kind of statement. I need to be delivered in every area of my life. I'm not saying come down here, let's cast the devil out of you. Stay with me. When I say delivered, I mean we need to get set free. Sometimes we're bondage to pride. Sometimes we're bondage to anger. Sometimes we're in bondage to all kinds of things. But the truth be known, Jesus has set us free from that. And if we will trust Him and believe Him, we can walk free from those things.
Amen.
We can walk free. But you've got to renew your mind. You know, I think of Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will in your life can be proven, tried and proven, if you will renew your mind with His Word and not be conformed to this world, you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And one of the things you need to get a hold of is the fact that you've been set free. Everybody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
All right. See, a lot of us don't even know that. We're in bondage. The gate's open. We're in the prison. And God's saying, hey, the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Yeah. We're staying in bondage, something Jesus already set us free from. Yeah. But because we don't know that, hello, we're not aware of that fact. We're living in that bondage and we're living in a state that Jesus set us free from. Ooh, glory. Okay. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Aren't you glad Jesus is risen from the dead? I love that. You know, Paul talks about it over and over. Peter talks about it. Jesus said it of himself before he ever went down in the grave. He said, I will rise again. Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus lives. Hallelujah. And you know, in all this that I'm saying here, Buddha may have showed us a way to live. Muhammad may have given us direction or instruction on how to live. There are religious leaders that have concepts and philosophies about living and even about morality or so on and so forth. But see, that's not what we really needed. We didn't really need someone to show us how to live. And we didn't need someone to show us, you know, how to be more moral. The moral code's within us. It's within us all. You can go to any religion, there's a moral code. You can go back to Hammurabi's code, the Babylonian code. It talks about morality, the Tao, you know, of the Eastern religions. And you go through the moral code. It's always wrong to kill. It's always wrong to steal. It's always wrong to lie. You don't need anybody to tell you that. You know that. The problem's not that we don't know that. The problem is that we don't do that. That's the problem. We know it, and yet we don't do it, see? See, we need something more than a guide, something more than an example, something more than a teacher. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. That's what Jesus did. Buddha didn't do that. Think about it. He didn't die for your sins. That's not what he came to do. He didn't even talk about that. Muhammad didn't do that. That's not even what the Quran's all about. Jesus, on the other hand, came to die for your sins. He came to deliver you. He came to die and rise again and set you free because you needed help and I needed help. Isn't that good? And the good news is he did it. Hallelujah. The good news is we can now take part in that. We can now operate in that. We can take advantage of that. See, a lot of times we don't realize we've been set free from certain things. We keep living our lives. We keep doing our sin or whatever the case may be. We keep dealing with the anger or whatever the case may be. And we don't realize that God has set us free from that. We need to start praying and asking God to help us, stand on the Word, and start letting His power and His deliverance, what He died for, let it start taking effect in our lives.
Yes, amen.
Isn't it terrible that He paid such a price for us and we're still paying the price for what He paid the price for? I mean, think of the great lengths He went to just to set me free, and I'm still in bondage. He's got to be shaking his head. Man, I died and rose again. You wouldn't have to live like that. But unless we get in the Word of God, renew our mind with the Word of God, we won't prove the good, perfect, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, Paul's saying he rose again, talking about Jesus. And all the brethren who are with us, we greet you, Galatian. He was talking to a region of several churches. He says, to the churches of Galatia. That's present-day Turkey is where that is today. Back then it was called Asia Minor, and the region was a province of Galatia. There were several churches that Paul started there. He went to Iconia, Lystra, Derbe, in that area. Acts, the 13th chapter, 14th chapter, he talks about that. Then the third verse, he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Fourth verse. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Why did he give himself for our sin? That he might deliver us. Jesus came to deliver me. And I've been delivered. Oh, praise the Lord. As the song goes. And most of what I'm in bondage to have already been delivered from. I just got to repent, get in the Word, pray, get God to help me because He really already delivered me from it. I'm just being ignorant of it, not being aware of it. But ignorance, I'll tell you what, will get you in a lot of trouble. It's a lot. In fact, really, you know, you can go through life and make a lot of mistakes. Experience will teach you. It's just not always the best teacher. It's been said this way, experience gives you the test first and the answers later. But if you'll get in God's Word, you'll find out the answers before the test comes. So why wait till the problem comes? Why don't let's get in the Word, let's pray, let's seek God, let's get in church, let's cry out to Him, let's find out what God's done in our lives, let's see what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is all about, and let's start walking into some victory with full knowledge of what God has already done instead of just ignorantly walking in bondage till someone comes along and we cry out for help and God sets us free. Y'all getting it?
Yes.
Well, you're not acting like it, but anyway. You're welcome to amen anytime you want to. Help me here. This is a group effort. Y'all want a good sermon? Help me. Okay. So it says in the fourth verse, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. You're not in this evil age to be in bondage to it. You're here to be delivered from it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus came that you might be in it, but you're supposed to be delivered from it.
Right.
Rescued, hallelujah.
Amen.
And delivered and set free and set at liberty from whatever it is you're facing in this life. You're not here to be put in bondage to the earth. You're here to be at liberty in the earth. Liberty over sin, liberty over the devil. And this is, now get this, if you just take this apart and look at it, fourth verse, he gave himself for our sins that, this purpose, this intent, because, for this reason. Why did Jesus give himself for our sins? Why did he do that? That he might deliver us.
Yeah.
Praise God, deliver us. Deliver us from what? From this present evil age. Well, it's so tough out there serving God. Well, it may be. I mean, you know, if you're not in church, don't read your Bible, don't pray, it probably is pretty tough. But if you'll pray and you'll seek God's face and you'll get in church, I'll tell you what, it'll get easier and easier. Because this is what Jesus came to do.
Oh, yeah.
He came to deliver us from this evil age.
Yes, God.
Did it work or did it not work? Did he do a good job or did he not do a good job? Did he finish it or did he not finish it? Well, of course he did a good job. Of course it works and of course he finished it. Ooh, hallelujah. What's happening is we're not taking advantage of it. Brother Osteen used to tell the old cheese and cracker story. Y'all remember the cheese and cracker story? Well, some of y'all hadn't heard it. So, Brother Osteen, John Osteen was our pastor for years, and before Joe. And Joe's doing okay. I remember Dodie asked us that one time. We were eating lunch with her about 3 years ago, and she leaned over and she says, "How do you think Joe's doing?" And I was just kind of taken aback by the question. You know, I patted her on the hand and said, "Dodie, I think he's doing real good." Okay, anyway. He's a mama, you know, she's won't know about her boy, you know, and he's doing so good. But Brother Osteen was just, now he's different than Joe. Brother Osteen was a lot different. He was a fiery preacher, you know, not hellfire brimstone. He preached love, and he preached the word, and he preached victory, and he preached, in fact, I'm just a product of Brother Osteen. I really am. What I know and what I learn, the way I preach and teach, is just a smidget of Brother Osteen. I can't even jump like he jumped, bounce like he bounced, and preach like he preached, but he impacted us and changed our lives. But he used to tell this story, and he wrote a book called Benefits of the Will. I don't know if y'all remember that, but in there, there were several benefits that were in the will. This was a will and testament of Jesus Christ to us, that we have inherited things that he put in the will. Most people go through life and they don't know what's in the will. And he likened it to a man that got this ticket to go to the United States from Europe. He'd been over Europe and saved all of his money together to get this ticket to go to the United States and start a new life. And he was just, you know, enthralled with the United States and coming over here. Some people do love our country, incidentally. Thank God for the United States of America.
Amen.
Greatest country on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I know it's not heaven. I know we've got our issues, but thank God for this country.
Yeah.
Pray for this country and believe in this country. And thank God for men and women who died for our freedom.
Amen.
And I can stand up here and preach to you. People shed blood so I can do this.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, let me get off that. Now, God bless America. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he was coming across the ocean, about a 2-week tour, you know. Not one of those 3-hour tours that Gilligan was on. But anyway, 2-week tour, he's coming across the ocean, and he had his sack, and he had all these crackers, and he had all this cheese, because, you know, he wanted something to eat on the way. And the last night of the cruise, he's up on deck, you know, and been on there for 2 weeks, and Man, he's been eating cheese and crackers. I mean, what can you do with cheese and crackers? Just eat it. That's it. Nothing else you can do with it. And he's eating his cheese and cracker, and a guy comes up and says, hey, why don't you come on here and eat? We're fixing to have supper over here in the cafeteria here on deck. He says, oh, no, I couldn't do that. He says, I've got my cheese and got my crackers. And the guy says, I've noticed you've been eating that cheese and crackers. Every night you're coming out and eating cheese and crackers. He says, why don't you come on and eat with us? He says, well, no, actually, I just had enough for the ticket. I didn't have enough for the meal. And the guy looks at him and says, well, the meals are included in the ticket. So he missed that whole 2 weeks because he wasn't aware of what he had already paid for. I think that's an indictment on us as Christians. Are you with me? We're saved. We're going to heaven. We're on the journey. But we're up on the deck, and they are partying back there in the cafeteria. Let me tell you. We're up on the deck here. We don't know we can be healed. We don't know we can have our prayers answered. We don't know we can have peace. We don't know God can prosper us. We don't know all the benefits because we hadn't read them. We hadn't checked it out. We hadn't looked the fine print. And all this time, I've been delivered. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hello. Yeah. But see, this is the will of God. Notice what it says here in the fourth verse. He might deliver us, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. According to the will of God and our Father. It is God's will that you be delivered from this present evil age. In fact, that's part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6 chapter, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I love Psalms 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got some rough edges. We're in a fallen world. We take some hits. But you know what? God delivers us out of them all. In fact, he came to deliver us. Oh, glory. Heard a guy say one time, every time he eats liver, he wants to be delivered. But somebody stop me now. I'm on a roll here. Okay. Turn with me to Luke 4. See, this is just a theme you see all throughout the Scripture, over and over and over. Old Testament, New Testament. Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a conqueror. Our God is an overcomer. And see, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We benefit from what He has done for us. He won the victory. We get the prize. We get the spoils, as it were. Like those two heavyweights fighting it out in the ring. Two world champion heavyweights fighting it out for the world title, boxing title. And one of them wins the title and gets the, $40, $50, $60 million. I don't know what they make nowadays. And, 220-pound man, just solid muscle, beat it out for however many rounds it took. And he is what we call a conqueror. And then, of course, he gets home, and his 110-pound wife opens the door, takes that $60 million check out of his hands. She is more than a conqueror. And that's kind of the way we are as Christians. Jesus fought the fight. He won the battle. But you know what? We get the spoils. Because he did it for us. Amen? And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And he always calls us to triumph in Christ. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He came to deliver us from this present evil world. So if you're in bondage or you're down and the clouds have rolled in on your life, listen, you need to roll them back. You need to let the light shine again. You need to stand up and speak up and grab a hold of the Word of God. Quit staying on that deck eating those cheese and crackers and get over there in the cafeteria.
Amen.
Hello. Because it's been paid for. The gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Amen. And see, a lot of our pain is self-inflicted. A lot of our problems are self-inflicted because we give up. We quit. We think this is our plight in life. Or we'll even try to get a little scripture, and all we do is twist it. We'll say, this is our cross to bear, or this is my thorn in the flesh. That is not what Paul's thorn was, nor is it your cross. Your cross to bear is persecution. That's all that is. Persecution for standing up for Jesus. It's not poverty and depression and sickness. And that's not a cross to bear. And thorn in the flesh, that was persecution too. Paul prayed 3 times that God remove it. God won't remove persecution from your life. Are you with me? It wasn't sickness and disease. No, get that out of your thinking. Well, what about Job? Well, you know, Job wound up with twice as much stuff when it was all over when he finally prayed in the last chapter of Job. He never prayed for God to help him to the very last chapter. And when he did, God showed up. And the Bible said he had twice as much stuff as at the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, new concept. Why don't we pray? And hey, there's another new concept we've been praying. Why don't we believe when we pray? Whoa, there you go. Hallelujah. Sure, life's tough. Join the crowd. We've all been beat up and sucker punched and rolled over and been bamboozled, you know. Come on. But God can help us. And God wants to help us. And God wants to deliver us. He has delivered us, see. We just hadn't taken advantage of it. Luke, the fourth chapter, notice this. I'll wrap this up and close this out. That way we can beat the Baptist Dairy Queen. I say God bless the Baptist. Okay. Luke, fourth chapter. Come on, I'm for Baptist. I wouldn't have any son-in-laws if it wasn't for Baptist Church. Okay. Oh, I couldn't help that. No, I'm sorry. Hey. You know we're pro-church. I love churches. We love churches. Thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, Catholics. Whoever preaches Jesus, we're for them. Help me, Jesus. Okay. Luke 4. Now, I don't know where I was going to turn to. Oh, I know where it is. No, I got it. I got it now. Yeah. Jesus, when he started his ministry. This is when he started his ministry. This is vitally important. You've got to get a hold of this, because when someone starts their ministry and tells you this is what I'm about, that pretty well sums it up. You don't have to question or speculate or wonder what Jesus was about. Wonder what he really came to do. Well, he tells us when he started his ministry. It says he was driven of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after 40 days fasting, he hungered. The devil showed up, tempted him. Three times Jesus came back to the devil by speaking the word. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then the devil departed from him. And the Bible says he came in the power of the Spirit into Capernaum. He came into his city. And as he came into the city, he walked into the synagogue. Came to Nazareth. He walked into the synagogue and stood up to read. This was his custom, the Bible says, to go into church and read. And so he comes out in the power of the Spirit, starting his ministry, stands up to read. The ruler of the synagogue hands him a scroll. He unrolls it and finds the place where it is written. Everybody say, find the place. That's very important. He didn't do this. God, speak to me today. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. That's a good one, actually. I like that. Thank God, that wasn't supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be something. But anyway, I mean, he didn't just pick it. He went and he found something, see? And in this particular case, you know what he did? He found where it was written about him. That's what he did. He went and found what the Bible said about him. That's a great, great thing to get a hold of. We need to get a hold of that. We need to find where in the Bible it talks about us. And see, that's some of the things we're going over here. That he came to deliver us, hallelujah, from fear of death. He came to deliver us from this evil, present evil world. See, whatever's going on, I've been delivered from it. Hallelujah. Jesus came to deliver me from it. And I need to start saying, I'm delivered from this. I don't have to live this way. I can come out of this. Jesus paid a price that I could be free in this situation. And here he says in the 17th verse, 4th chapter, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, actually a scroll, because they didn't have books like this. They had scrolls that you had to roll out. And it says, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Man, I just can't get away from it. Have you found the place where it's written about you? Whatever you're going through, have you found the place where it's written about what you're going through? God has something to say about your circumstances. God has something to say about your situation. Have you, but the question is not that. The question is, have you found the place where it's written about you?
Right.
Well, Jesus did. He found the place where it was written about him, and he quoted it. He was quoting Isaiah 60, 61, 60, 61, is that right? Yeah, 61. And he says this, 18th verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I love that. This is his mission statement. See, he starts out his ministry with his vision, his mission statement. preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I love that. It's deliverance is what he's saying. God doesn't want you captive. God has come to deliver you. I got good news. Hallelujah. You feel like you're in bondage to this or bondage to that or bondage. Listen, I want to tell you, God has come to deliver you. This is what Jesus came to do, is to set you free.
Amen.
And it says here, to preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised or oppressed. There again, twice he says, liberty, set at liberty, to free you.
Yeah.
And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Man, I love this, because all you got to do is just back this up.
Yeah.
The oppressed, he sets them at liberty, so what? So they wouldn't be oppressed, right? So he wants the oppressed to not be oppressed anymore. The recovery of sight to the blind. Why? So the blind won't be blind anymore. Right? Okay. To heal the brokenhearted. Why? So the brokenhearted won't be brokenhearted. Maybe you're dealing with that. God has come to heal you from a broken heart. And then he says this. This is amazing to me. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? So the poor won't be poor no more. God doesn't want you to be poor. I mean, God tells us to give to the poor. It's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay there. It's a sin to not try to get out of it, to not trust God, not believe God, not pray, not ask, not try to rise above that. Listen, we're not against the poor. We're for the poor. But God wants the poor to come out of their poverty, and God wants us to help the poor. God came to set us free from that, to deliver us from that. Just like it's not a sin to be sick. But I think it's a sin not to try to get well. Are you with me? Not a sin to be depressed, to stay with me, because that comes on you. But it sure is a sin to want to stay there and not try to get out of it. It's not a sin to come from a broken home, to come from a dysfunctional home. And that's not a sin. You didn't do that. It wasn't your fault. But you know what? It is a sin. It's a sin for you to stay there and live when you're 50 years old still talking about it. Come on, get over it. Pray for your parents. Pray for your family. Pray, but rise above that. You've been set free. You're a new creature in Christ. Jesus, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Jesus has come to set you free. Hallelujah. He's come to deliver you from that. And you can come out of that. Hallelujah. And this is what you see all throughout the Bible. Jesus came to deliver us. He came to set us free. Jesus said it this way in John 8 chapter. I'll close out with this. And there's several of the scriptures we can get to. But in John 8 chapter, he said, 31st verse, right in that area, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now see, the problem with that guy with the cheese and crackers, he didn't read the ticket. He didn't know the truth, and so he was still in bondage to cheese and crackers. So if you're tired of those cheese and crackers, my brother and sister, let me tell you, you pull out your ticket with a price paid. You look at all the benefits that God has attained for you. And come over in the cafeteria, there's a party going on. Are you with me? Jesus has set you free. Amen. He came to deliver you. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison?